exercise out there in the third dimension with your smart devices. You can really exercise your thumbs on this show. I'm Gary. This is my wife,
Gloria. Hello, everybody.
And this is our new puppy, Ricky.
And he's rather excited.
We are Grace Faith Christian Discipleship. And on screen with us, we've got Lindy Sweet. Hi, Lindy.
Hi.
And Tom Hawkins. And you guys will give your full intros when you make first comments. So, this Bible study, the purpose of this Bible study is to teach how to rightly divide the word of truth so that you guys out there in the third dimension can do it for yourselves. So, and we've just had Wendy join us. Hi, Wendy.
Hello. Hi, Wendy.
And so I'm going to hand over to Gloria now. And she's going
to hand over Ricky to Gary. Put him on the floor if you want to afterwards.
Yeah, okay. And Gloria's going to open this Bible study with prayer and lead us through communion.
Yes, that's right.
So Ricky will behave himself on the floor.
Yeah, so so if you would like to join us for communion, if you've just come along, you thought, what is going on? We are a dog-friendly, pet-friendly Bible study, but we are a Bible study. And we like to take communion at the very beginning. So if you haven't got your elements, go out and get something that will represent the body and blood of Jesus, bread, wine, crackers, juice, whatever it is that you would like to use, and come and join us and fellowship with us and have communion. So Father God, we thank you for this awesome, awesome day. We thank you for your love for us and for all mankind. We thank you that this Bible study reaches the multitudes of people in the world that are hungry to hear the truth, to be set free from legalism, to know that you came for them. You came for each one of us, Jesus, came for each person here. So, Father God, we thank you that you sent your only beloved Son. We thank you that you've left us with your Holy Spirit that helps us as we read the word and guides us throughout our life, and we open this Bible study in Jesus' mighty name.
Amen.
Amen. And hello to Keith and Kathleen just joining us now. So we're just about to have have communion. And as I was thinking about the message for today, I was thinking about just this last weekend we have celebrated Easter and the resurrection of Jesus some 2,000 years ago, and how it's a time of family coming together. And not all family gets along, but usually on special occasions you make the effort to come along and be together. And so that's a bit like the body of Christ. We may not always believe exactly the same thing. We may have differing views. Even personalities may not always get along. But when it comes to something like the communion, we all have that in common. It is a gathering of the Lord's family, of the Father's children, and it's a gathering of the body of Christ. And so as we come today to celebrate, and this is what it is, it's a celebration. Can you imagine what it would have been like after Jesus' disciples saw and believed that he was raised from the dead? They had 40 days with him. I can't imagine that they were just sitting around going ho-hum. I would say that they would have been rejoicing to see that he was alive, and it was a real celebration. And wherever he went, he would have been breaking bread and having communion with the people that he met over those 40 days. Communion is a public act of worship. Yes, we might just be a little group here and we're online, but it's a public demonstration of our worship for the Lord. And when we do it, we are proclaiming the Lord's death and his resurrection and what he's done for us. So we're proclaiming when we take the bread that Jesus took those stripes for us, that he bore the lashes on his body for our healing from infirmities and diseases and sicknesses. So we proclaim the Lord's death as we remember him Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for those stripes that took my healing. In Jesus' name. And again, as we take the cup, we are proclaiming the Lord's death. We proclaim that he died for us, that his blood that was shed took away the sin of the world. So we thank you, Jesus, for your precious blood, and we proclaim that you rose again, and we celebrate the victory that you won for us. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
Praise your Holy Name.
Thank you, Lord.
Okay.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, God. Well, this is a Bible study. We're in the book of Hebrews. We're in chapter 7, and tonight we're going to start at verse 17, and I'll share screen now, and we will start with Lindy first tonight, and we'll just work our way around the screen. We'll go Lindy, Tom, Wendy, then Keith, and then Kathleen for comments. And each of the guest ministers, if you'd introduce yourself before your first comment, that would be appreciated. Okay, I'm going to share screen and ask Gloria to read. Make sure I open the right app here. Okay, so we're at verse 17 we want. Okay, there it is, Gloria.
And all good? You want me to read to
you? Yeah. Read down to verse 19, just to 17, 18, 19, three verses.
Okay. For he testifies, you are a priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek. For on the one hand, there is an annulling of the former commandment because of its weakness and its unprofitableness. For the law made nothing perfect. On the other hand, there is the bringing in of a better hope through which we draw near to God.
Okay, for those of you who have been studying along with us in previous weeks, this won't seem out of context, but for those of you who have just jumped in, it probably does. So I'll just read to bring it into context, hopefully from verse 14. For it is evident that our Lord arose from Judah, right? So we're talking about a change to the priesthood, and we're talking about our Lord Jesus. For it is evident that our Lord arose from Judah, of which tribe Moses spoke nothing concerning the priesthood, and it is yet far more evident if, in the likeness of Melchizedek, there arises another priest who has come not according to the law of Moses, of fleshly commandments, but according to the power of an endless life. And then Gloria's read the rest of it, but I might get Gloria to read it a second time so that it is in context. For he testifies...
For he testifies, you are a priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek. For on the one hand, there is an annulling of the former commandment because of its weakness and its unprofitableness. For the law made nothing perfect. On the other hand, there is the bringing in of a better hope through which we draw near to God.
Amen. Over to you, please, Lindy.
Yeah, thanks, Gary. Hi, I'm Lindy. I'm in Brisbane in Australia. I did a little bit of research this afternoon, and some things that I read were quite interesting. So in John chapter 20, it talks about when Jesus was raised from the dead, and we've just celebrated Easter here, so that's something very relevant to us at the moment. It says here that Jesus said unto Mary at the tomb, touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God. And then, as Gloria was saying during communion, the disciples spent 40 days with Jesus. You know, a lot of people saw him after he'd been raised from the dead. But in this passage of scripture, straight after he was raised, he said, touch me not. And the reason for that was that he had to take his blood enter the Holy of Holies to pay the price for all mankind for all time. So that was the beginning of the new covenant. That's when the new covenant began, when that blood was put onto the mercy seat once and for all time. So all the Old Testament priests, they would bring the blood of bulls and goats, and that would cover man's sins, plural, for a year. But it could never take away that sinful nature. But now we have Jesus as our high priest, who has passed into the heavens, passed into the heavenly Holy of Holies, put his blood upon the mercy seat there for us for all time. And the Bible tells us that he is the first begotten from the dead. Now, in this passage of scripture that we've been reading for several days, over several weeks now, we can see that there was a lot of emphasis placed on genealogy through the Old Testament. But under the new covenant, genealogy is not important, because we are now all sons and daughters of God. Jesus has paid the price for us. We have a new and better covenant. The genealogy doesn't matter. The only genealogy that matters is that we have been born again through the Lord Jesus Christ, and he was the first begotten from the dead. And Psalm 2 tells us that, and also I think it's in Acts 13. It says in Acts 13, verse 33, God has fulfilled this for us, their children, in that he has raised up Jesus, as it is also written in the second Psalm, you are my son, today I have begotten you. So Jesus was raised up from the dead for us. He paid the price for our sinful nature for all time. And from that time onwards, when we do miss it, we miss the mark, we can now come boldly to the throne of grace and obtain mercy and help in time of need. Jesus is our advocate. He's our intercessor for us. He's our high priest for all time, eternally, which is just fantastic. And I can't thank him enough for that. Yes. So thank you, Gary.
Yeah, thanks, Lindy. That was great. Over to you, Tom.
Yeah, I mean, it's again, if you look at it in context, it's all talking about the two different covenants. And one of the things as pastors of a church we see so often is people mixing these covenants and, you know, trying to sort of, if you like, have their toe in one when it suits and then in another when it suits. But they are, as I, you know, I've done chemical engineering, and so they are immiscible. They don't mix. They're like oil and water. You can shake them up for a while. You know, I used to work for an oil company, so you can temporarily make oil and water mix if you do some certain things to it. But if you leave it, it will always separate, and they are immiscible. And so the main thing for people watching online and for us to keep reminding people is that we have to remember which covenant we're actually under today, and we're under a better covenant. You see, the old covenant couldn't provide an endless life. It said not according to the law of a fleshly commandment, but according to the power of an endless life. Mm. See, the law always had to have a testator. It had to have somebody to die. And so the Aaronic priesthood, when one died, another took his place. But they didn't have an endless life. But, you know, glory to God, today we can have the promise of an endless life. There's only one person that's ever, you know, raised from death into life for it forever, and that's Jesus. And so we just need to watch out that we don't keep going mixing the two, because I hear people all the time say, well, what about, you know, the commandments of Moses then, you know, thou shalt not and all the rest of it. Well, they've been made obsolete, and because Jesus has fulfilled the law now for us as New Testament believers. But obviously there are some now, thou shalt not, that are beneficial for us. Thou shalt not murder, thou shalt not steal, etc., etc. So the Old Testament law is still applicable, and the Old Testament law, its proper use is to show that man could not save himself, and so man needed a saviour. So the Old Testament Mosaic commandments could only temporarily cover sin, They could never, ever take it away. But hallelujah, we've just celebrated Easter, and sin was nailed to a tree once and for all peoples and for all times. And so that's just the amazing good news that we have now, that it's not according to the law of a fleshly commandment, a Mosaic commandment, but it's for an endless life. How amazing is that? So we don't have to keep confessing our sins. You know, it's okay to confess our faults, but not confess our sins, because our sins have been taken away as far as the East is from the West, once for all peoples and for all time. And that's real. That's the freedom of the grace and faith message, that it was for once for all peoples and for all time. So we no longer have to go backwards and forwards to a, you know, a priest every time we make mistakes or whatever. It's for an endless life, and that's just amazing.
Mm. Yeah, thanks, Tom. Just before I hand over to Wendy, just something that I've learnt from Pastor Keith over the months that he's been ministering to us here on this on these Bible studies. And the point that you might say, well, I knew that. And I'm Gary, I knew what Keith said, but the revelation came to me because Keith told me over and over again that we were never, ever under the law. The Gentiles were never under the law. The law was only ever given to the children of Israel. Now, you've got to remember who the audience is that the author of the book of Hebrews is writing to. It's called Hebrews. Who are the Hebrews? They're Jews, but these Jews are Christians. So they've converted from Judaism to Christianity. So he's making a really big emphasis about the old covenant. Now, some of the things that he said under Jewish law would have been considered blasphemy, right? Like in verse 18 that we've just read, it says, "For there is verily a disannulling of the commandment." That means, I wrote down what it means. You know, like if a marriage is annulled, it's like it never existed. That's how effective. There's a disannulling. And which leads us to the thought of, well, okay, so he's talking about the law of Moses. Well, is he? Let's read that. "For there is verily a disannulling of the commandment." What's the commandment? He's talking about the Ten Commandments, which are part of the law of Moses. So the author is saying that there's a disannulling of the law of Moses. So when did that come into effect? That's a good question. Well, the Bible says that the law was added because of transgressions. So the law is an add-on, right? And it was added until the seed should come. Well, Jesus is the seed. But it also says in another place that the law was until John. Well, the law didn't just disappear when Jesus was born or even when his ministry started, because Jesus said, "Not one dot nor one tittle of this law passes away till it is all fulfilled." Well, Jesus fulfilled the law. So the way I see it, and there are a variety of explanations here, because you can only go by what the word says, but the law is, we can see that there is a disannulling of the commandment. We can, in another place, it says that the law of Moses is passing away, right? Well, the way I see it, the law is still in effect until this last person stops keeping the law. Now, you could call that Garyology. I can't back that up with what the Bible says. I've quoted all the verses that relate to this. We know that the age of grace started on the day of Pentecost. But there was during the ministry of Jesus, there was a transition from the law of Moses to the grace of Jesus Christ. The law came by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Amen. So I might just leave it at that and hand over to you, Wendy.
Thank you.
I'm Wendy and Tom, and we're from England. And I was just thinking there might be people who are watching this from other countries, and they are actually celebrating Easter this weekend. So happy Easter. People in
Bulgaria.
Cyprus, Bulgaria, even Ethiopia, the Christians there, to you, what a privilege it is for us to celebrate the resurrection and read these scriptures together today. And I think what Gary said, I think it's only, even though I've heard and I've read it, I think it's only becoming a real reality, you know, that the law was never made for us, and we was never born to be any part of the law. So I think when we get understanding of that, as that it will really help us not tie ourselves in knots, and teach other people, you know, that they'll sometimes we can be teaching people and tying them in the same knots that we are in. So I thank God for this Bible study, that we can meet together and minister to each other, and also obviously the people who are watching in the third dimension. So we just thank you that together we are getting revelation. And I think when I first understood that my sins was forgiven, not only in the past, but present and future, that really did set me free. And it doesn't set us free, you know, to go and do what we want. We're just that thankful in our heart, and that thankful for God and for Jesus and the Holy Spirit, what he's done for us and what the blood of Jesus has done. We live, I think Andrew's got a teaching called Effortless on Purpose, because we're coming from a thankful heart. So even these scriptures that we're reading at the moment, is giving us all revelation about what Jesus did for us and what his priesthood actually means to us. Sometimes it can be hard to comprehend every life decision, really, in every life situation. So as well as ritual, when we get this understanding, it literally it will help us in every life situation that we're that we can be overcomers. So I thank God for his blood, that it's still flowing, still cleansing and still healing. And thank you that he became our great high priest. And I just really pray with my heart that people will get this understanding, and we will get more understanding ourselves also. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks, Wendy. Over to you, Pastor Keith, please. You'll have to unmute, Kathleen.
I'm Keith Wall from Western Australia. I'm still in Western Australia.
Good.
Thank you, Gary.
Okay. Kathleen, have you got the video turned on?
Yeah, I don't know what's happened.
Your audio is coming through fine, so go ahead, Keith.
Okay, thank you, Gary. For he testified, thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. So number one, we've got an everlasting priest. Number one, right? For there was verily a disannulling of the commandment going before for the weakness and profitability of it, right? So the law is holy, right? But the law was ministering to dead people.
Yeah.
Right. Nobody was spiritually alive. So the law is holy, but ministering to dead people. So it couldn't make spiritually dead people alive, right? So it had to be done away with, right? So now the one that gives us spiritual life is the one that died and rose again and has given us spiritual life, right? So now the law couldn't give us spiritual life, so Jesus Christ has given us spiritual life. So why would you go back to the law to establish yourself if we now have a spiritual life in Jesus Christ? See, these are the questions that people have got to answer. As Gary said, we're never under the law, But there's a lot of times we're juggling faith and law, when really speaking, you are spiritually alive. Spiritually alive does not need a carnal commandment. It needs a spiritual commandment, which is love. For it was unprofitable thereof. For the law made nothing perfect. So we got that clear. The law made nothing perfect. See, this is the thing. Sometimes to get the revelation, you think you're offending God. This is why you need the word of God. The word of God made nothing perfect. So why, as a born-again Christian, am I can't try and get perfection from the law? See, these are questions you've got to answer if you're going to go on with God. For the law made nothing perfect, but the bringing in of a better hope by which we draw nigh unto God. Right. So we're bringing in a better hope or a better commandment. We now have the law was made for the carnal man, that the carnal man didn't get, that it wasn't profitable. So now we come to Jesus Christ and we're getting life from him. So now we're come under a spiritual law. This is why it's important to build your spirit man up, because if you don't build your spirit man up, that old nature is going to competing with the new nature. It's important that you read the word of God, that you study and know who Jesus Christ is and who you are in him. If we do not do that, you're going to be juggling with something you were, as Gary said, we were never under the law. We were free from the commandments of God and the traditions of Israel. The Gentiles never had it. So the only way we can get to God, and the only way that you can get to God, is through Jesus Christ. But once we've got to Jesus Christ, we've got to realize we are spirit. Now we need to be growing up in the spirit. It's so important. Because otherwise people are trying to get right with God with works or doing something. It's not doing something. It's believing on the one who saves you. See, the whole world lies in the wicked one. The only way out of the wicked one is through Jesus Christ. And as somebody said earlier, it's an endless life. The day that you got born again is the day that you started for eternity with Jesus Christ. Thank you, Gary.
Yeah, thanks, Pastor Keith. That was really good. Over to you, Kathleen.
Yes, well, I just want to bring in at verse 17 where it says that for he testifies, you are a priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek. So the psalmist in 110 verse 4 prophesied that it would be forever a priest according to Melchizedek, who has come not according to the law of fleshly commandment, but according to the power of an endless life. Only through Christ, like Tom was bringing out earlier, only through Christ can we have eternal life. But not only eternal life, we can have newness of life. See, he's given me newness of life. Now I have a new mindset of what life is really about. Not according to my old carnal mind. That's why in Romans 12:2 it says, be not conformed, but transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you can now walk in that power of an endless life. And the power is the Holy Spirit. So then he goes on to say that, for he testified, you are a priest forever according to the order of Melchizedek. So on the one hand, there's an annulling of the former commandment because of its weakness and unprofitableness. Mm. It wasn't even profitable for them, because it was working at something to get something. whereas the gift of God is free. That's why I'm very wary of this prosperity message that says, oh, send in this money and then you can have this. If I bless Gloria and Gary, I don't expect anything in return. It's a free gift.
Yeah, amen.
It's the gift of right standing with God.
Amen.
So now I'm in right standing with my Heavenly Father. And He has perfected forever those that come to Him. So now I'm not only walking in the power of an endless life, walking through with Jesus, I now know that He has perfected me forever. And so, for the law made nothing perfect. See, He is our perfection. That is a promise. That He would perfect me forever, those that come to Him.
Mm.
In fact, it says He's already done it.
Mm.
For He has. He has perfected forever those that come to Him. And I came to Him.
Mm.
So there is the bringing in of a better hope through which we draw near to God. And what is that better hope? The hope. It's a lively hope. So I'll leave it there, Gary, because we'll get into that in the next verse.
I see that hope being the new covenant, the New Testament.
Well, the word will bring it out.
Yes, amen, because amen.
We have the evidence of the things hoped for.
Mm.
You see, Hebrews 11, so we will be coming into that. It's a new study, really, because the Word of God is the evidence of the very thing that we're hoping for.
Yeah.
So I'll leave it there.
As Pastor Keith pointed out, or was it Tom, the Old Testament law dealt with the flesh, but the New Testament deals with the heart through the new birth.
Amen.
The Old Testament ministered death, but the New Testament, through the grace of Jesus Christ, ministers life to us all. To us all who receive it. You have to receive salvation. What you've been hearing tonight from the ministers on the screen is the gospel of Jesus Christ. And in Romans, it says the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. You know that you need power to get saved? The same power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead is what will raise you to eternal life. If you'd like to receive that power tonight, then I invite you to say a prayer with me that will turn your life around 180 degrees. Romans chapter 10, verse 9 says that if you will confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. That means eternal life in heaven. Not only in heaven, your eternal life starts here on earth the moment you say that prayer. So I invite you to join with me and say that prayer right now. The prayer is this. If you can feel the tug on your heart, nobody can come to Jesus. The Word of God says nobody can come to Jesus unless the Father draws him. I believe that He draws every man and every woman
Amen.
To Jesus. Right? If you can feel a tug in your heart, don't be like me when I was a little kid. My parents took me along to see Billy Graham. I could feel the tug on my heart, But I didn't respond because I didn't want to make a spectacle of myself in front of my parents. How stupid. They took me. They would have been delighted. The whole of heaven will be delighted if you respond to this altar call right now. Just pray this prayer with me. God, I've heard about Jesus. I've heard the good news. I've heard the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I make this decision to invite Jesus into my heart, to make him Lord of my life. From now on, I'll not do it my way. I'll do it your way, Lord Jesus. I believe in my heart that God raised Jesus from the dead. And I thank you, God, that I am now a child of the living God, that I can now call Jesus my Lord and my Saviour. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank
you. Over to you, Gloria.
Yes. If you've made that decision tonight or today, wherever you are, whenever you listen to this, send us an email. Let us know. We will be able to put you in touch with somebody that's a little bit closer to you. So our email address is gfcd.sozo, that's S-O-Z-O, at gmail.com.
Thank you. And if you've enjoyed this Bible study tonight, then just take note of where you're watching, because we'll be back at the same time next week with another GFCD.
Do you want to go another few minutes or you want to finish up?
Well, I just thought that we wouldn't be able to get around.
Okay.
Get around the whole group. So we'll come back to it. Yeah, Tom?
I just want to, this will probably just, I'm not doing it to eat up the last minutes, but I'm just doing, I've just prompted to just add something to what you said, because for those who are viewing and bearing in mind you've just given them the opportunity to receive Jesus. You quoted from Romans chapter 1 verse 16 that the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. And so I just felt to speak out that you missed a bit off that. You see, the gospel is the power of God unto salvation to them that believe. Mm-hmm. And so the power of the once and for all times and for all peoples only comes to those who believe. So it's to those who believe first, to the Jew, and then also to the non-Jew or to the Gentile. So just to clarify to those, because, you know, I think some people might just think, well, I'll just read it and the power of God's going to, you know, nothing, faith has to be voice activated, and it comes to those who believe. And it was first revealed to the Jews and then now to us as Gentiles. So just...
Yeah, thanks for that. I stand corrected. Thank you. Please, you raised that, Tom. That's great. Yeah, we are finishing 5 minutes early tonight, but I'm sure everybody can handle that. Thank you very much. Really appreciate you giving up your time and coming and joining us. And we'll see you guys out there this time next week for another GFCD Q&A Bible study.
Thank you, everybody. Bye for now. See you next week.